Blog Talk Radio.
I want to talk to you this morning about the crisis we're going through. The borough of Brooklyn, the city of New York, the country, the world. I want to focus on just one aspect of this crisis, because many times when you combine things, people use the combinations to lessen the focus we should get on any one point. I just want to talk about one point, and that's the match that set a lot of things on fire, and that's the murder. No other word for it, but the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis, which everyone now probably has seen. That murder was done by, yes, someone with a uniform, with a gun, with a badge, but that was murder. That person was going nowhere, could do no one any harm. That was a murder. And beneath the surface of the tape and the uniform, there was an arrogant, hateful, loathsome human being who seemed to be enjoying the fact that he was putting someone to death and leaning there. And with, can you imagine, with phones taping it and with people begging along with the victim, "I can't breathe." I mean, if you're a human being with a head and a heart, you know that you're witnessing a murder of the foulest kind, despicable. Again, I'm no expert on jurisprudence. I am not a lawyer. I don't know how union laws work in Minneapolis with the police and all that. But how that person was not in jail that night, is totally befuddling to me. I know that if I would have been there and they filmed me, I would have been, rightly so, in the slammer that very evening. Let's pray and hope that full justice is done in repayment of a murder. I usually don't refer to notes, but I want to be sure of my words today, so I will refer, as most speakers do, to notes. I've been trying to do it without it for quite a while, but I really want to be careful today. So what does God think about that murder? Let's just start with just the murder. Well, in Numbers, the Bible says, anyone who takes a life must pay with their own life. The murderer is to be put to death, Numbers 35:16. That's for all murders, any murder, no matter who does the murder, the murderer shall be put to death. I'm a Christian. I'm speaking to you, congregation, and people watching this. I'm going to appeal first. Obviously, as a Christian, I'm not trying to reason as the world reasons. I'm trying to reason as a Christian. I'm confined to the Word of God and the calling on our lives to be like Christ. But that's murder. Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 18, "You shall not murder." You shall not murder. Anyone who is not outraged, who condones what we saw in that video, anyone who lessens its evil, everyone who excuses it in any way is not only devoid of humanity, you're not human. I don't care who you are. I declare to you in the name of the Lord, you can watch that and not get sick. Something is very troubling about you. But you're not only devoid, we're not only devoid of humanity if that doesn't deeply affect us. We become in league with Satan. Murder and Satan go hand in hand. Just talking about murder now. Let's forget the riots, forget everything else just for now. Let's talk about one particular thing. Jesus said, speaking about Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning. Anyone who abets, excuses, comes alongside and says, Well, you know, anyone who does that now, you are walking hand in hand with Satan himself. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care who you are. You really have lost your way. I want to declare that to you with the full authority of Scripture. From the first murder of Cain slaying Abel to George Floyd and anyone else who has died since George Floyd, for any reason, murdered senselessly, you are now walking with Satan. He provokes murder. He's a murderer. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life. So when life is taken away, we are now colluding with Satan. No matter what outward show of religion we seem to have. The Bible tells us that no one has a right to murder anybody else. That cop that was leaning, police officer leaning on George Floyd, he didn't know George Floyd. He didn't know when he was born. He didn't know his parents. He doesn't know his aspirations. He doesn't know things he went through in life. How can someone, when you don't know someone, how can you take their life? Under the guise of police work or any other guise of justice for all. You can't take someone's life. God hates that. He's for life. Now, you might look at it and say, well, George Floyd died for nothing. There was no reason behind his murder. And on the surface of it, you're right. There is no reason for that. Ah, but you don't get it. There is a reason why he was killed. And that's hate. That is hate. On that man's face was not fear, was not perplexing thoughts like, what should I do? There was hate. Now, this hate of racism has been in our country from the very beginning. Racism, looking down on people of color, has been part of the American experience. Look, I'm not a conservative, I'm not a liberal, I'm a Christian, and I went to college, and I've read enough about history to know that when the country was founded and they said all men were created equal, they didn't mean all men and women were created equal. They meant the white folk that were in the country. That's just a fact. Has America done other good things? Is America a country people want to get to? I got that. But I'm not going to forget the racism that it was born in. And all through its history, although it's been slowly tamped down and laws have been passed and a civil war was made happen because of slavery and racism, it still remains, though, today in many people's hearts. Not everybody. Not every white person is a racist. And not every racist murders. But every racist poisons the society that we live in. How in the world can you look down on someone for the color of their skin? How ignorant is that? And if you're a Christian, you're not. I hope to prove that to you. If you look down on people and dislike people because of the color of their skin and you don't know them, that's a sick little puppy. So the Bible tells us that hatred is the thing behind almost all murders. And all Christians everywhere need to understand. Listen, can you please understand this? Don't you understand that based on the history and not just this event, there was the thing in Georgia where they hunted, two men hunted down this other young man, and then all the other things that have happened, and not every time was it the police fault. I'm not sweeping with a broad brush. Don't paint me in some extreme corner, okay? There's times when they were a criminal, they were a perp, and they did something and the police felt threatened. And other times we know it's racism and hate. But every Christian has to know now how people of color could feel easily that they're hunted, that they're marked out, they're hunted. They got a target on their back. You can't feel that. If you can't feel that, come to Brooklyn, okay? and you'll talk to very lovely, wonderful men and women who are Christians, okay? And you could talk to them and let them share their heart with you of their life experience, different than your life experience. Listen, do you think I get nervous when any police officer approaches me? Never, never. I don't care if the officer is white, black, Hispanic, Asian. When they approach me in New York or we get in a dialogue, I am not tense or nervous. That's not true for people of color. Now you say, yeah, but every cop is not a bad cop. I got that too. Overwhelming majority of cops just want to do their job and go home at night. But there's enough bad ones that have made a reservoir of fear. Fear. People are living in fear. Don't you get that? Can't you see that? Maybe you don't live in a diverse area, and maybe you've been surrounded by an all-white culture all your life. My wife and I thank God, have been in the inner city for more than four decades, and we love where we are. And there's problems. Well, what we love about it is there are people from every race, every background in our church. And by the way, that's what heaven is going to be like. If you don't want to be with certain people, why would God punish you by sending you to heaven? Why would you go to heaven and be with every nation, every tribe, and every tongue? That's sick. That is very sick. Racism is a thing that's horrible. There's hatred underneath it. And it's the hatred that leads so many times to murder. Feeling marginalized, unequal, honest, beautiful people that God created. I can name a slew of people. Listen, there's a pastor on our staff, African-American, Pastor Floyd Johnson. He's NYPD, retired. Now he's a pastor on our staff. He's told the pastors, listen, I get nervous when I'm stopped. He carried the shield. He doesn't know what that officer has in his head when he sees the man's color. You don't understand that? Now, no, don't go to riots. Don't go to riots. We'll get to riots. That's another message for another time. But don't you see, both sides of this equation use other factors to mitigate what's wrong about their position. I don't want to do that. I want to look at this the way Jesus does. I do. I'm nobody special, but I want to be a Christian. And Christians love all people. You know, you better be very careful, pastors out there and everyone who rationalizes their hate and their subtle racism. In the Old Testament, God had two chosen people. Did you know that? He had Israel. Oh, I know that, Pastor. I know my Bible. No, but he had another chosen people in a way. Over and over again, read the books of the law, Moses, the widow, the fatherless, the orphans, and the stranger, the alien. God said, they are vulnerable. If you, my covenant people, take advantage of them, if you get over on them, you beat them, you cheat them, and they go back to their homes at night, and they cry to God, like, why is this happening? I will come for you, God says. That's my paraphrase, but read it. God says, I will hold you to account. Who are you to take advantage of marginalized people when I've had mercy on you? I could have struck you in a moment for all your sins, white and black, and every other race, but I didn't. I had mercy and patience and gentleness, and now you're going to pound people who are down already? That's very sick, very evil. That's called hatred. The opposite of who God is. So anybody with a mind and a heart, how can you not weep over this injustice, the tragedy, the racism that kills some but wounds all? Racism just kills some people, but it wounds everybody. And what's saddest about this in many ways, I'm talking freely, we're doing real talk, is the church. The church of Jesus Christ. You know why a lot of people don't believe in Jesus? Because of Christians. You know why a lot of people in the world who see no attraction of the model of Jesus Christ is because they look at churches. Just think, in the 1830s, 40s, 50s, when the abolitionist movement was gaining strength prior to the Civil War, preachers down south were pounding the Bible to defend slavery and the beating of slaves. I mean, how twisted can you be? You're pounding the Bible and talking about Jesus and over your pulpit that God is love, and now you're justifying slavery? That would make anybody paranoid. And now it's a lot more subtle. But look, I'm going to do, never done this before. I'm going to give you a little bit of my life experience, only as it comes to this. But I don't want it to be about me, because I am the least person to be referred to in the midst of what we're going through. I traveled around enough. You know, I grew up in Brooklyn playing basketball on the playground. My wife and I started with less than 20 people in the inner city. Okay? By the grace of God, and I thank God that I grew up in a home where there weren't racist remarks or a feeling of racism. But I went in the ministry. And then as things happened, I began to travel some and invited. I wrote books, etc. I can't tell you the shock and the sick feeling going back to a hotel room after preaching and being in a minister's conference or visiting a church and preaching, after what I heard in the green room or what I heard over a snack after the meeting, the racial jokes with the racial overtones and racial words, like make me to drop my fork and look and think to myself, like, what world do you live in? What Bible do you read? Are you for real? You're a disgrace. I'm thinking that. Like, how in the world can you get up in front of people and talk about Jesus Christ? You have no right to do that. He died for everyone. He wants no one to perish, the Bible says. But you don't want to be with people he loves and died for. Run that by me again. You don't want to be with people that he died for. And who are going to be in heaven. Maybe you won't be in heaven. Maybe there's only a tiny remnant of people who really belong to Christ. Everything else is just mental doctrine or culture. I want to get to that in a second. But those are the experiences I've had that have just totally turned me off. Listen, when God fills you with his love, you don't have a negative thing to say about any race. Well, are you nuts? That's sick. That's racist. That's so wrong. Aren't you ashamed if you're like that? Well, everyone's had their experiences with that, but some, unfortunately, have joined in with the crowd. You know, oh, let's just talk about target groups. That's a big word now when churches want to grow. What's your target group? But listen, they used to call it different in the 70s. Yeah, church growth came up with, churches grow best when they're homogeneous. And I had people tell me, no, didn't you get the books out of California, church growth? You can't do what you're doing downtown here with everybody being from everywhere. Churches grow best if they're homogeneous. What's that mean? That people like to be with their own kind. Hey, I got that. That's very human, but it's also very carnal. That means the Jewish believers would never have been with the Gentile believers. But the New Testament boasts in the fact that God broke down that barrier and Jew and Gentile were together because it didn't matter anymore. So here's your target group. Anyone who's breathing, I don't care what age, because age prejudice is ugly too. Oh, you want upwardly mobile, middle class, and all of that, and nobody who is, you know, like other. Oh, yeah, that is just beautiful. You preach Jesus and tell me how that works out. You'll have a form of religion, but you will not have the power and presence of the Holy Spirit with you, because God's heart is open to everyone. Homeless, lawyers, millionaires, poverty-stricken, every color, target group. That's just another way of saying, come on. It's the old thing about all the churches that are in a certain area, and when the area changes, why are they moving? Why are they moving? Oh, listen, I've been to all kinds of those over these decades. And the pastor tells me, well, you know, the neighborhood changed. Weren't there people there? No, but, you know, our folk wouldn't want to come if the. Is that not evil? Is that not sick? So now you're going to move further and further away from, you know, integrated neighborhoods because the congregation doesn't like it. Doesn't pastor, if you're listening to me, doesn't that speak to the kind of pastor you are and preacher you are, that the people don't even have a scintilla of love for all people? No, you don't understand our culture and our state. I don't want to understand your culture. I don't want to understand that racist mindset. I do not want to understand it. I want to have my mind filled with the word of Christ and his love for all people. I sometimes wonder, really, I say this, my wife and I talk. I mean, where are the real Christians? Where are people who just want to love? Just want to love everybody. The greatest men and women who have ever lived for God, they didn't care about those things. And today we live in a, I want to say like almost fake Christianity. Fake. Fake. It's fake. So much of it is fake. I'm telling you, I've traveled. This is my best discernment. And the praise and worship is going on, and the doctrine, five-point Calvinism, no, my Pentecostal distinctives, I got to tell you about the charismatic blessing. But if you don't love, what's the sense? What are you doing? Are you that deceived? So let me just leave this verse with you. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 3:15. Listen, escuche. Everyone who hates his brother, that means you don't love him, is a murderer. And John says, you know no murderer has eternal life in him. Remember what Jesus said? You've heard it written. You've seen it written. Thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, you hate that guy. You miserable. Oh, like that. You're a murderer. You are a murderer. Oh, pastor, don't take that so literally. No, I will take it. Jesus said it. Got murderers everywhere, sitting, serving communion, possibly, in the pulpit. And you know when you find out? You don't find out arguing about doctrine and what's the mark of the beast and once saved, always saved. That doesn't tell the true colors. Just put them in the world that God made and you find out who's real. Otherwise, it's just make-believe religion, having a form of godliness, but strangers to its power, the power of love. So just think of that judgment day. Pastors, Christians, when we stand before God and we have not loved, we haven't even wanted to love. We've justified our lack of love. We got excuses on every side of the fence. Look, don't go off on me here. Some of you thinking, yeah, but look what they're burning down the riots. I'm not talking about riots right now. What are riots? More violence, more murder, more hate, and will bring about nothing but more destruction. I got that. I got that. Okay, but I'm not talking about that now. I'm talking about when will Christians stand up and say, that is wrong. I don't want it in my church. I don't want it in my life. And God, I was raised around that. So God, deliver me from racism and give me your heart that loves everybody. I have a grandson. He's adopted by my daughter from Ethiopia. He's 10. I love all my grandkids. For a number of reasons, I have something special in my heart toward him because of the way he came into my family. He could have been on that gutter. He could have been with somebody's knee on his neck. Because of what? Nothing that he did. He didn't do anything. He wouldn't harm a fly. Because of this hatred, this racism. God has to really control me with these things, because it's so, I hope I'm righteously indignant, but I got to be careful that I'm angry and I don't sin, because this is so wrong, so ignorant. And when it comes from Christians, it's the grossest kind of hypocrisy. Okay? So I want to say something to brothers and sisters in my congregation and all of you that have been especially affected by this. You got to get to Jesus. Don't look. I have no formula for you. I've prayed. I've tried. I have nothing. But listen to what I do have. You got to understand that Jesus knows how you feel. Oh, that's some platitude. No, listen. Jesus knows how you feel because he was murdered. You might not be murdered yet, but here's how his murder happened. In John 15, he's telling his disciples goodbye, and he says, all these things are going to happen, which will fulfill Scripture. They hated me without a cause. Jesus died for our sins on the cross. But the human dynamic was this. They hated me without a cause. I hadn't done one bad thing to them. Never said a bad word to them. Healed their sick. Held the children. Blessed everyone I could. But they hated me without a cause. The only cause he said that they could have hated him was he testified that their deeds were evil. And you know the way we are, the human race. You tell us we're wrong on something. Boom. You're out of here. We don't like to be corrected. That's what Jesus said. I have to be hated because I testified their deeds are evil. But in the fuller sense, he was hated without a cause. He didn't hurt anyone. Never did harm to anyone. So to be hated, you know, to be hated is a terrible thing. I've been hated. I've been around people who hated me. I've had to deal with situations where someone had it deeply into me. I have no idea of that kind of racial animus that my brothers and sisters in our church and elsewhere go through. But it's terrible to be hated. But sometimes if you've done something terrible and someone hates you back, if you hated them and you knocked them down and they hate you back, you can at least understand it. Like, you know, but without a cause, when you haven't done anything wrong and you're still hated, like Jesus was, like people are often because of their color. You got to get into Jesus' presence. The healing that we all need, you especially, my brothers and sisters of color, only he can heal you. If I could, I would. I say that, God knows I'm speaking the truth. If I could do something personal inside of you, I would do it. I can't wait to get back and see you. Ditto for my wife and my family. We want to be with you and hug you and be together like we always are. You got to get into the presence of Jesus and ask for directions of what you should do. You know, there's peaceful protests, which everyone has a right to do under our Constitution, and which I validate, obviously. You can go out there, but then there's rioting. And you don't want to get trapped into rioting and destruction, which is the same spirit of the guy who killed George Floyd. No difference. But peaceful protest is one thing. What you should do, how you should pray. We are calling a prayer meeting for tomorrow night, June 8th. Listen, everybody got this straight. Tomorrow at 9 o'clock, where I am, I am going to bow my head and pray from 9 to 10. You want to go later with me? You pray. You go up to midnight. We are going to pray for our country, for this plague, cancer of racism, of God, show us what to do. I don't have answers. If I had answers, I would give them, but I want to say cheap things. But I'm telling you that we're going to pray tomorrow. You got it? Monday, June 8th, 9 o'clock. That is mañana, a la noche, 8, 9 o'clock. Get everybody quiet, get rid of the phone, and we're going to pray. And the Holy Spirit will direct us. One last thing I want to leave with you. Sorry for such a long sermon. Here's what I'm most concerned about. This is the deepest concern I have. Jesus said in Matthew 24 a lot of things about what it'll be like before he comes again. A lot I totally can't clarify in my mind. I'm not sure what that means exactly. But this one I know. He said, before I come again, the days will become so evil that the love of most people will wax cold. Listen. In the end times, there'll be so much evil, hate, violence, animosity, friction, explosions. He's talking now to his own people. He's not talking about guys and girls in the street who are white or black or whatever. He's talking about his own people. It'll get so evil that the reservoirs of our love will be tested and the love of most will be love. I ain't loving anymore. I don't want to know about love. I'm tired of love. I'm tired of this Jesus love, agape love, where you love even though it hurts. And he said that about his own people, and he doesn't say, you know, the love of a few. The love of most will wax cold. Who knows that the remnant that will be left when Christ comes will be only the remnant of all races who are really filled with love. And everyone filled with anger and hate. If God is love, hate is anti-love, which is anti-Christ. Christ is love, hate is anti-Christ. How in the world are we going to be rewarded if we're living with anti-Christ attitudes in our heart? And that's what he warns us. This is what I'm concerned about among all races. People are going to say, later, look, and they'll find justification. Oh, yes, they will. Oh, yes, they will. The flesh always finds justification to hate or to throw away love. I ain't going to do this anymore. Jesus said that, not me. Read about it, Matthew 24, verse 12. The love of most will grow cold. So, please, listen, before I pray. We can't give in. I'm not giving in. I'm not going to give in. By the grace of God, my wife and I, my family, the Brooklyn Tabernacle, we will not give in. We're going to love. Does it mean a lot of things Jesus is going to have to figure out and heal us and help us and direct us? Yes. But look at the option here. The love of most of his own people are going to grow cold. But listen what follows. But he that endures, she that endures to the end, shall be saved. Endure what? Endure all the wicked and the evil and not lose your love. That's what's happening today. You got angry preachers. You got angry Christians. You got angry Democrats, angry Republicans. Everybody is angry and hateful. I have no hope for anything in this society except Jesus, some revival, some baptism of love where we could shine for Jesus Christ. Would you join me? No, listen, if you're angry and you're angry at me and you don't like me because of my color or whatever and I'm the man, whatever, I have just appealed to you. I'm going to sleep tonight knowing I tried my best to appeal to you from the Word of God in a reasonable way. And if you look at me and say, oh, you're an apologist for crime and all that, whatever. Feel what you want. God knows my heart, what I detest and what's wrong. If it's wrong, it's wrong. But I don't decide what's wrong. The Word of God decides what's wrong. So let's get back to Jesus. Let's get back to love. What will that change? What will that do? I don't know. I don't know. But I know it's the right thing to do. It's the only thing to do. What am I going to do? Throw away my love? The love of Christ? I'm a Christian today because he loved me. Because I was nice? Oh, come on. He loved me despite how ugly my life has been. Let's pray. Lord, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us today our sins, our trespasses, our lack of love, our anger. God, heal this country, our country, America, that we live in. We're so happy that in the end, it's not our country. We're going to be with you. We are a holy nation with you. But God, heal the land. We have a right to pray that. Not only stop the violence, stop the hate, stop the racism. Stop everything, God, that's not of you. Let the church arise and make more converts, because people who really know you don't hate. If they hate, that means they don't know you, no matter who they are. We have no hope in any politician, any office holder, any political party. We have no hope in any of that, but our eyes are on you. Please, God, God of love, baptize us with your love. Please, God, heal the pain of my brothers and sisters who are going through anguish I don't understand. Please, God, do that. And help us to remember that verse that we heard in that song. They will know we are Christians by our love. Baptize us in that love and keep us walking in love. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock, tomorrow night, we are going to pray. Wherever you are, it's not going to be via the internet or anything like that. It's going to be just alone with God. Jesus said, when you pray, go into a closet. Shut the door. Get alone. Shut the door. And we're going to call on God and believe that he's going to do something awesome. Thank you for listening to me today. God bless you.